Well, welcome here to Top Talent. This is my podcast. This is the podcast that originates from the capital region of upstate New York, the Albany area. Well, actually, the Schenectady area, to be, you know, specific. And to be really specific, I'm broadcasting from the basement right next to the hot water heater. And I just hope that it doesn't leak once again. So this is, again, my podcast. It features a talent that either originates from the capital region or talent that's coming to the capital region or anything in between. But it all kind of centers around this area, the capital region, and it centers around talent. And I wanted to give you a backstory of this particular episode because I'm so excited to tell you about it. Okay, so long story short, I worked on radio with a really good friend, Kevin Richards. He's still on the air here in the capital region. But he also puts on his own productions now, including these up-close-and-personal shows. They're part performance, they're part discussion, they're part Q&A. And for this particular show, it was with country legend, in caps, Randy Travis. So I was asked, along with good friend, singer and guitarist Mark Pierre, and area singer Jenna Sue, and country duo Martin and Kelly, to provide cover versions of Randy Travis songs during the show, or to open the show and, you know, to be interspersed in the show. And then Randy and his wife will come on and discuss with Kevin Richards, discuss all these hits, followed by Q&A with the audience. And it's just a cool little thing. We did multiple shows at both the Charles R. Woods Theater in Glens Falls and the Colonial Theater in Laconia, New Hampshire. It was an absolute blast, absolute thrill. The audiences were just incredible. And Mary Travis was so kind in accepting my invitation to be on this episode, of course, with Randy. And what I thought was going to be just like a short thank you from us to them turned out to be this really fun half hour or so, give or take, conversation with them. And without further ado, I hope this wasn't too long because I want to get right into it. Here we go with my discussion with Kevin Richards and the great Randy Travis and his wife here on Top Talent.
Hello.
Hello.
Mary.
Hey.
Randy.
Hey.
How good. Are you?
Fine. How are y'all?
Oh, great. Great, great. I got somebody else on
what
the line
here. What are y'all doing up there? Huh?
It's wet here. We just got a major rainstorm where we are.
Oh, that's nice. Just rub it in.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute now. I got to merge calls here. This is a high-tech studio I have here in my basement next to the hot water heater. Here, I'm going to merge the calls. Wow, and let's see. I should have Kevin Richards. Kevin?
Yes, yeah.
Kevin, you
hey,
are on.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey.
Oh, hi, Mary.
How are you?
Good, good. It's nice to be reunited with everybody. Well, we miss you too. God, it's been boring the last week.
And do you hear Randy in the background? Randy's there.
Yeah. Yep. Hi, guys. Hello.
Yeah, Randy's right here.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Man. Yeah.
I wanted you to hear this because this is my jingle that I always use to start the show because the name of my podcast is Top Talent because I'm looking for talent. And of course, I found it with you folks. I mean, there's no question.
Well, with Randy, yeah.
Absolutely. So this is my jingle. I just wanted to hit you with the jingle here.
Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Nope. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of the song. It's already too long. Top talent.
And it goes on from there, but I don't want to bore you.
So wait, we're right up there with dogs that do tricks. That's what I heard.
That's right.
That reminds me of the interview Randy did. It wasn't too long right before his stroke, and they said something that we don't know about you. And he goes, "Oh well, I'm a really good break dancer, and I like rap music, you know."
So you have found the talent, Richie. You found it.
I definitely found it. Well, Kevin is a little short on time, and I don't know how much time you folks have, so I don't want to waste any of all of your time. But Kevin, I wanted you to have the floor here because I know you have a lot to say to them, you know, to thank them or whatever you want to do, because I know you have to leave. He's recording his radio show at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear!
You got to love technology. Multitasking at its finest.
Well, we feel honored, Ben, to break away to be a little time with us.
That's right. Oh. Well, I had to have Kevin on because Kevin is the genius behind this whole show. And
well, that's kind of you, Richie. I'm just lucky. I'm just lucky. I found some really cool friends that have talent, like your Top Talent broadcast, and are willing to go on stage with me. So I'm the lucky one.
You made us feel like it was the biggest show you've ever done, and it probably was the smallest show you've ever done and the smallest event you've ever done. But you make us feel, I don't know, you just have a magic about both of you to make us feel at home with you. Yeah, really. Right, Kevin?
Oh, yes, he's definitely – you're talking about Randy and Mary, of course, right?
Of course.
That it made us all feel so special.
Sure.
You know, it's just wonderful to share the stage and their story with the world. But the fact that they enjoy doing it with us, I think, makes us all want to do it even more. It makes us feel like we're doing something more than just putting on a show. We're touching lives, and we feel it, and we love to hear the people's reaction and feedback from this little show that we created. It's just really like a little onstage interview that's turned into this, I don't know, magical thing that still I beam and glow about when I think about what we do and what I hear back from people.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. so kind. Well, I have to tell you, that is one of our favorites. We've done a lot of different things, and of course, Randy over the past 40 years has certainly done a lot of things, different types of talk shows and concerts and appearances. And we both agreed that was just one of our favorite. It's very special. It's very warm. It's like being in a living room with your nearest and dearest, and you have so much historical knowledge when you're interviewing, and then to have all of the, I mean, to have the humor and the fun and the music of the different things that, you know, that Richie does, it's just, the whole thing is put together so well. It's just a masterpiece. And I would love to see that replicated all over the country, to be honest with you, because mm-hmm. it's so special, and y'all make mm-hmm. it that way. It's not us, mm-hmm. it's y'all.
Well, I don't know about that. Oh. I don't know about that. But I do know one thing. I've got my luggage packed in case this goes.
Yeah, Richie's ready to go.
I got the minivan packed.
And your high technology next to the water heater.
And I'm next to the water heater.
Well, y'all are so special. And I tell you, the towns, I fell in love with them. Being a girl from Texas, and you always hear about Southern hospitality. We don't have anything on you guys. Y'all are just as warm and welcoming and hospitable as it comes. I just can't. And I told everybody, I said, if we disappear, we're up in the Northeast.
Well, we can.
We come with a U-Haul.
Well, we can find you a farm up here. I mean, you know, I know you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, beautiful place.
You know, I was looking on Wikipedia to get as much information. And I know you've been asked probably these questions 5 million times, but just some of the facts about Randy is just unbelievable. Is it true that he's now, it said here that he won 38 different times. I mean, you know, between Grammy and CMA and ACM and everything, but he also had 85 nominations. Now I consider that a win too. If you're nominated for the Academy Award, you can go home and say, hey, I did something amazing. So he had 85 nominations and 38 wins. That's unbelievable.
That truly is. I mean, that just speaks to a career well done. And Randy did. I mean, just that God-given talent that he had, and he turned it into his passion and shared it with the world. And like I always tell people, he left a little piece of Randy Travis in every piece of work that he did. Yeah. So we all feel so close to him because, you know, he threaded that into his compositions. And mm-hmm. those don't disappear easily.
Mm-hmm. No, they'll never disappear. So, never. Absolutely.
Yeah, he has a lot to be proud of, that's for sure. When y'all come down to Texas, I'll show you his award room. And oh. That was just for some of the wins. The rest of them are in the Hall of Fame in Nashville, but he's got a nice little trophy room to show for his hard work and his dedication to the art. So
we can just imagine that room.
It's pretty spiritual, really, when you when you walk in and you think of all of the thought and all of the, I don't know. It just, to me, I don't even understand. I couldn't even win a cakewalk in second grade at Halloween Carnival. what he's done is just, it fascinates me. And of course, Randy's sitting here, you know, shuffling his foot back and forth like a little boy going, I didn't do anything.
That is another question that I had. Was he shocked in the beginning? Maybe in his mind, he was just thinking, you know, I'm just a guy playing country music. I'm just, a guy playing my songs and so forth. Was he shocked? He had to be, at how his music exploded and changed the whole industry, for God's sakes.
Yes. Did it kind of surprise you, honey? How it just took off. I mean, it did. You're right. It skyrocketed. It's like NASA just took off or something with, spaceship. He just, when that storms of life hit, there wasn't any turning back. And then, Always and Forever came out, and that was even bigger than Storms of Life. So, and that was, that was when Storms of Life hit, that was the first time an artist with his inaugural album had gone platinum.
Yeah.
So, it's like he was just, it was just supposed to be. And I think he put in the hard work for the 10 years prior to getting there, but it was well earned and well deserved.
Absolutely. He's the first country artist to have a platinum album as his first album, right? He's the first one.
Right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin is synonymous with country music here. I feel even uncomfortable taking the helm here because he's the guy. He's been on. Really,
you're doing a great job, Richie.
No,
like
Kevin hasn't said anything yet. But Kevin, I'm going to ask you, since we were on radio at the same time. I mean, we started basically kind of sort of at the same time. How do you define his music? How do you define the popularity of his music? How do you explain it?
Just Randy Travis is country music, especially for that generation of people that came along at that time. I often hear like Randy Travis was our Garth Brooks, or maybe if you go back further, Randy Travis was our Roy Acuff, for the people that got into country music at the time. He was our king, and he definitely brought so many more people into the genre, and he gave people that had missed that sound a chance to hear it again. And whatever he was doing it right. People were missing that sound. They appreciated that sound. And I think it was also – and not just the music, it was Randy's personality, or it is Randy's personality. Mm-hmm. The company he kept and like the heroes and idols he had were the same we had.
Right.
George Jones and Andy Griffith. And, we could relate to Randy. I guess when I was in radio, I started out around the same time as Randy. And I guess I could connect with him in that. Like I said, his heroes and friends were like the people I wanted to be my heroes and friends. He was our singer. He was our connector to those people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. And throwing in there Roy Rogers.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're right. The company. And also, I would have to say that it was, and you touched on it, was just Randy, his personality, his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a showboat. He had that voice, and he knew how to deliver a song with a message to it. But then there was just that humble and shy kind of boy he was always dressed nice.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't slight his wardrobe. I mean, and I think people appreciate that. It's pride, it's effort.
Mm-hmm.
And, but there's just that kindness that, and that smile that he had, you couldn't help but fall in love with that kid up there. And he didn't dance about the stage. He just delivered the song, and then he'd walk off. He finally learned how to own the stage, but it took him a while. If you look at his early, like you would remember, Kevin, early on, he would just kind of walk on there, didn't have any interaction with crowd, sang a song and walked off. But, you know, and it, before his retirement because of the stroke, he owned that stage.
Right.
You know, his movement was minimal, but his jokes that he told, the conversation that he had with the audience, his timing was impeccable. His band was as good as it gets. And, you know, those guys were with him. His fiddle player was with him for 40 years. He found him over in Charlotte before he even came to Nashville. So it's that speaks a lot, I think, to, you know, as far as the audience is concerned, is it somebody you can count on? And that's what people are always looking for.
But what was his movement like when they had to put chicken wire up in front of the stage?
Well, before the chicken wire, there was a lot of fast movement.
A lot of ducking. A lot of ducking.
Ball. Right.
Yes, it was dodgeball. Wow.
I know you told that story over breakfast at the hotel, and I couldn't believe it. How many times did that actually happen? I mean, was that a long run of gigs where he had to do chicken wire? Where there was the chicken wire circuit.
A lot of them, wasn't it, Andy? Not a lot of them. Yeah. And I think it just depended on what kind of a dive bar it was, you know, what kind of a, how far out in the sticks that place was.
Right, right.
But, it wasn't a bunch of times, but it was enough to remember.
Mm-hmm. I kind of define his music. He was a traditional artist that defied tradition in a way. Right. I mean, he did traditional music, but in a non-traditional way. I mean, when I, again, started on radio, I'd listen to him and I'd say, you know, I'm more of a crossover person. I'm completely changed now after being on radio for 30 years. But in the beginning, you know, I came from like the Beatles and, you know, that era and that type of thing. But I'd listen to him and go, you know, there's something about it. It's as traditional as it can get, but it, I don't know. It's a new tradition. Is that explain it? I don't know.
I don't know. Kevin, what do you think?
Well, I guess new tradition, but again, it was traditional. So It really wasn't new. Maybe it was a new guy doing traditional country music. There we go.
Yeah. That's possible. Right.
Yeah. And also the great songs too, the lyrical content and the stories. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just someone singing a chorus over and over. I mean, just about every story had a message that the Zinnia, whether it was I Told You So over a heartbreak or He Walked on Water and you're thinking of Grandma and Grandpa. Like every song had that.
Mm-hmm. But there's even more than that though, because I'm always been a lover of the novelty song because I like to write the funny stuff. And I just would burst out. It's not music where you would burst out laughing, but there was that humor, that built in humor to it. Like if your hair fell out, I'd love you anyway, you know, the goldfish, or the goldfish are floating on the top of the bowl that, you know, baby like come that. Back. Right. You know, it just makes you giggle, you know, it just, just clever writing too. So that's
very
what I personally, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, and maybe the voice too, when you think about some of the older ones before him, some of that was very twangy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. And Randy's, his voice was not, it was, you could tell it was country, but it wasn't the twangy thing that kind of sometimes grated a nerve a little bit, but it was just a solid baritone, honey, velvet voice delivering that message you're talking about.
Yep.
So I don't know. It sure rang true with a lot of people though.
I keep thinking of your role, Mary, though. You being the de facto spokesperson, you know, from what's happened, you have to be extremely well versed in what I call Randyology. I've set a new subject area. I think it should be taught because, I mean, he had 22 albums, right? So I'm sure you're getting questions left and right about his material. You really have to know your Randy.
Well, I guess I do know my Randy. We, you know, we've known each other for 33 years, but we haven't been together but 13 years, and we only had 3 years together before the stroke. So the good thing was is we spent a lot of hours talking, and I was absorbing as much as I could just because I was fascinated, you know, with, with the person, with the music, with what he had done, just, you know, like the world is, it's just fascinating, really. So I'm glad that we did that. I'm glad we spent all of those hours talking because I learned a lot. But other than that, it's just, it's talking with folks like y'all and I get to learn a little bit every time. So thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you. Kevin, do you have to go? Because I'm looking at the clock here. You said you had to leave.
Yep. I'm going to head out. But again, I've enjoyed my time with all three of you. I love it when we can all just get together and share Randy's story. And God, when we're on stage together, I'll always cherish and remember those magical moments. And so many people we touch just by all being there together, doing our part to share Randy's story and, you know, putting him front and center. And Mitt, Randy, and Mary, just thank you again for giving us the chance to do it and me the chance to live out my dream with y'all. So thank you.
Well, thank you for having us. It's just such an honor to be with you. And we'll come back anytime you ask us.
Hello.
We'll drop everything.
I have a few more questions. I got a few more questions.
Sounds
great.
Yeah, we don't have to run.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to head out, but you guys have a great conversation, and thank you. All right.
Okay,
all right,
Kevin. Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Kevin. Thanks. Now, how long do you folks have? Because I don't want to hold you.
No, we're fine.
Okay, great. Yeah, a couple more things I was thinking about. Well, Mary, again, your role. I mean, you now, I bet you know more about medicine than the doctors. You know more about country music than the consultants. From right? Yeah.
I know. I think you're giving me way too much credit.
But you wear many hats. Now, I was interested to know how deeply involved are you in the business? I know you have a lot of different projects coming up. The more I read about it, the more I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe I even have the chance to talk to you for 5 minutes. But are you involved in, like, the documentary and the – I know I want to talk about these things.
Yes.
Wow.
I work with Tony Conway, who's Randy's manager there in Nashville, and he's just absolutely wonderful. And he took on Randy after the stroke, and Tony has engineered people all the way from Willie Nelson to Dolly Parton to Garth Brooks. He has been such an integral force in Nashville, and for him to take us on after the stroke. Mm-hmm. When others were, you know, running for the woods because they don't, I mean, not that they're bad people. I'm not saying that, but it's like, well, what can you do with a singer that can't really sing anymore talk or interview or, you know, so Tony has figured out a lot of different ways to keep Randy, you know, out there. And that's been so important to us.
Sure.
I think it's great for Randy. Don't you, honey?
Yeah.
I mean, he's the first one to want to pack a bag and go somewhere. So mama's tired sometimes and he still wants to go.
Oh, so he's the one. He's the one pushing you.
A lot of times. I mean, I'm real happy on the sofa with a book or something. And I haven't read a book in a long time because there's no time for that. But no, he enjoys going and doing and being with his fans and seeing the people. And I mean, he'd spend all day and all night doing it if he could. So,
well, I'll tell you, that's a credit to him.
Yeah, and I'm a part of what goes on, and Tony runs things by me. And of course, Zach Barnum is his publicist, and he has things that come through. So. We all kind of work together. No. I've learned a lot from them, too.
Well, I watched you during the two, the several shows that we did. I mean, you had to get, you drove that car from Albany. I kept telling the story. She drove the car from Albany to, that van from Albany to New Hampshire, right? You had to push the, push the wheelchair. Let's face it. You were pushing them on the stage, off the stage, into the car, out of the car. Then you went back. You had to get on a flight. You get on a flight. You didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning. And that this is just our gig, right? I mean, you do this all over the place, right? You have a traveling show, basically, right?
Yeah, we're on the go a lot. Since we've been home from y'all, we've already been back to Nashville. Now we're back in Texas. And we have a Make-A-Wish function here at the house this weekend. And then Wednesday, we leave to go back to Nashville. And then we go to North Carolina for the Randy Travis Music Festival.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we're in it. We're on the go a lot.
You certainly are. And you have the documentary, which is called More Life, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I'm a little confused about that because I looked it up and I thought it was on Amazon and you could rent it. I said, well, how can you rent it? I didn't think it came out yet.
No, it's out.
Oh, it's out? Oh.
It's out. It came out. Gosh, when did that come out now? All of my years have run together.
I think it's 22.
2022?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So
about 2 years. Yeah, a year and a half ago, I'd say. Yeah.
Got it. So it's the last footage of Randy performing his hits, correct? That's the
right. It's what it was is we started it before the stroke. And Sean Silva with Tackle Box did it. And it was just going to be a one-hour documentary on Randy Travis and his music. And while we were filming it, or after we had gotten his last performance there, he had the stroke. And so then they decided they would add another hour to it, or 45 minutes to it, and that would be post-stroke. So what you get in it is a mix of pre-stroke and post-stroke.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's interesting, and I'm not sure that there's another one like that, really.
Hmm.
And when More Life came out, that was one of the last songs that he recorded, and little did we know that that song was going to be kind of our theme song for 5.5 months while we were in the hospital.
Yeah.
All we want is a little more life, a little more time.
That's true.
You know, a little more love, though. So, It was very, very poignant.
Amazing how that worked out, yeah. And it's going to be on the Circle Network in February? Or am I reading stuff does that mean February 2022?
I think that was February past, yes.
Oh, okay. Here, I'm advertising something that was a year ago. Okay, great. I was going to ask you this before we started the podcast, so I don't look like an idiot. But now I look like an idiot.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I can't tell you how many times I get texts and phone calls from people telling me that they're sorry Randy's in the hospital. Or that, is he okay? Because I heard he passed away. And I'm going, he's right here at the other end of the kitchen island. I'm looking at him. He's having his coffee, watching Let's Make a Deal. So if he's passed away, we're both in heaven.
Well, you fooled them.
Yeah, but, you know, that's just the way that the internet and social media things will come back around. And it'll be a topic and everybody thinks it's new and current.
Yeah.
But
I guess not. Because I was Googling it. Maybe it came up, it popped up like it's something that's coming up in the future. That's something. And I also read about your when Randy christened that new station in Nashville. Well, it was a pop station that flipped the country. Y'all 106.7?
Yes, 106.7 Y'all. And it was so fun. It was so cool. And every time we go to Nashville, we've got Y'all on.
Okay. Yep. Because
it's 80s and 90s music.
Perfect. So,
and the very first song they played on that new station was Forever Never Amen.
And he pushed the button. There's a great video.
And he pushed the button.
Yeah, I saw the video.
He pushed the button.
Although I think you both missed the boat on it a little bit, if I may criticize, because it's Y'all, 106.7, and one of my favorite songs of his is Small Y'all. Don't It Make You Feel Small, Y'all? So couldn't they have christened it with Small Y'all? Because it's Y'all 106.7. I wanted to call you on the phone.
Oh my gosh, we should have told them that. But so few people know that song.
I know.
I can't believe you pulled that one out.
I know, but I love that song. I love that song because
it's so cute.
It's one of those ones. It's a novel, kind of like a novelty song. That's the thing I love about him. Yeah.
And that one and Ants on a Log.
Oh, that's right. That was it. That's another great one. Yep. Love it. Well, country music was always known for that too, right? Yeah. Some of the funny songs. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They've got a sense of humor.
Now, Garth Brooks has a new channel on the internet called the Big 615, where he's playing like everything. Yeah. So I'm sure that a lot of Randy's stuff is going to be played on that station, right? Because he plays everything.
Yeah, I do, and we don't get that a lot out here in the sticks. But yes, I'm sure that he probably plays some Randy because he always was so respectful and kind of looked up to Randy, and he did not have a problem acknowledging the difference that Randy made for country music, even though they were not too far apart in age. He has always acknowledged the fact that, you know, we all know there was great talent out there. It's just that nobody had opened the door for them to be on the radio or to get any notoriety until Randy came out with that Storms of Ice, and people were, yeah, that's what we're looking for. And then everybody was then listened to, the Clint Blacks and the Garth and George and all of those guys were already doing it and doing such a great job. But, you know, radio or whoever was going down the urban cowboy route. But,
right.
Yeah, Garth would play Randy just because, for out of respect, he'll play Randy Travis music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was on the air a long time ago, we had a phone call. I had just started on the radio, and my boss, who was also my partner on the morning show, he turned to me and said, you know, Kenny Rogers called, and he's coming to Albany, and you're not to say a word, and nobody is to say a word, because he's going to fly in on his own plane, and he wants to find out basically why we're not playing his music anymore. I said, get out of here. And he said, well, you better bring your, this is like 1990, when I think maybe my first year, or second year in radio, and he said, well, you better bring your video camera because it's going to happen. I went, get out of here. So I went home and I charged up my video camera. We did the morning show. We did the morning show the next day. I come back from breakfast and there's a limo in the driveway. I went, get out of here. I open up the front door and there he is standing there with the beard. And, you know, and I just couldn't believe it. He wouldn't go on the air with us. You know, it just shows he had a very interesting business mind, I guess. You know, he said, I don't want to go on the air. I don't want any, you know, publicity. I just want to talk with the program director and find out why you're not playing my stuff anymore. Do you believe that?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It was such a thrill.
And that's what they were playing, I guess, right? That was.
Well, they started to weed out, you know how it goes. You know, things changed and they started to. I know we played The Gambler, but they didn't play too many of the other ones. And he had so many hits and. It was upsetting to see them starting to weed out these songs, you know. But I'm glad that maybe it's turning. You've got this station now that's going to play 80s and 90s in Nashville. That's a great sign, right?
Yeah, and it's a wonderful station.
Hmm.
It really is.
Yeah. So two more things I wanted to mention for your sake. I know you have the autobiography, which I happened to listen to on Audible, which was just amazing. Forever and Ever, Amen is the name of it?
Uh-huh, with Roy Feek.
Oh, right. Oh, he does a great job.
Reading?
Yeah. Oh,
yes, he did.
Great. That's fascinating, I tell you. So it's in hardcover. It's on Kindle. You can get it in anywhere, right?
Yeah, you can. I think so. I think you can. Well, I can get you one right over here in the library. I have one in a box. But no, I think you can get them anywhere. You can buy books online and stuff. Mm-hmm. Even on the randytravis.com. I mean, on his website, you can buy them through there. Mm-hmm. But it is. Ken Abraham did such a beautiful job writing that. It was like unscrambling scrambled eggs because Randy was not able to actually interview with him and talk to him and tell him the stories. And so he would go and find stories and things that he wanted to try to cover to to recreate Randy's life and his career.
Sure.
And we spent a lot of time with Ken and Lisa Abraham, and just absolutely lovely people, wonderful, wonderful folks. And he did a beautiful job with it, I think. And people have told us when they read it, it just felt like Randy was reading to them the story of his life. And that's what we wanted.
I have somebody else on the phone. Cheryl, are you there?
Okay. I'm here. Hello.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you? Hi, Mary. I'm good.
I wanted to include Cheryl because, you know, she's one of the people, the behind the scenes people that did just so amazing amount of work there during those shows.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Transported people to airports. And, you know, I just wanted to include her. Anything you want?
Well, thanks, Richie. I appreciate that.
You're wonderful, Cheryl. You dot all the I's and cross all the T's for sure. And the things that are in the room, the treats, the basket, the wine, and running James Dupre and his family to the airport.
Right.
You just don't miss a beat. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's my honor and pleasure to do so. I'm happy to do it. I love it.
And got us the beef sandwiches.
It's very important. It's very important that everybody's fed.
No, it was very important.
Gotta keep them happy.
That's right.
Right.
And Mark Petrie as well. Or is it Petrie?
Yes.
I don't know his last name.
It's Petrie.
It is Petrie. Okay.
Petrie.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
He's a lot of fun.
Yes. Yes. I'm sure he'd love to be on here as well. Well, that's great. I'm just glad I got you on here. Cheryl, anything else you'd like to say to these fine folks?
Oh, well, just I can't thank Randy and Mary enough for traveling up here to do these shows with us. I mean, it means a lot to Kevin to have you here, and also to the folks up here in the Northeast that get to hear your story. You know, and thank you for you're so gracious in meeting, you know, a lot of people after the show, and just your humbleness does not go unnoticed. So thank you for being with us.
And for folks listening to this, Cheryl played Mary's part when we did like a practice run. You knew that, right, Mary? We did the whole show before we even did the shows. We ran through the show. Yeah,
I'd like to hear that one.
Cheryl was your stand-in.
That's right. I sat in your chair during our on-stage rehearsal, and I kind of came up with the best answers that I could.
She was great.
Cheryl, you probably did better than I did.
Yeah, no,
it was. I need to listen to that.
Yeah, Kevin put you through the ringer there, Cheryl.
Yeah, for sure. But I love it.
Yeah, it was just such an amazing experience. It really, for all of us. So,
well, we had so much fun up there, and like I said, you just say when we'll be back. We can't wait to come back up there and be with those people, your fans, the people up there. Like I said, they're so hospitable, so kind, so friendly, and the South has nothing on y'all as far as that stuff goes, and we're looking forward to getting back up there with y'all. Y'all are like family to us.
Yeah, well.
So whose house are we going to for Thanksgiving?
Dory, set the table.
Dory, set the table.
I was even going to tell you, because we live really close to the airport, and I was almost going to call you and say, if you have a problem at the airport, please let us know that night when you went back. But I didn't want to you know, become a pain, a semi-stalker.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you. No. Thank you.
Well.
No, we got out of there and headed home, but we'd have stayed. You know, I told Randy, I said, it's not all bad if we cancel the flight. We'll just stay here.
Yeah. You could have gone to Saratoga and bet on the horses.
Oh, Lord. That's a good place for me to lose a lot of money.
Well, again, I don't want to hold.
If there's two horses in the race, I'm going to pick the wrong one every time.
All I can say is thank you so much for your time to be part of this huge podcast that's heard by millions of people. Well, if I have my way, maybe it will be now that people know that I have you on.
Well, if it's heard by one and it makes a difference to them, then it's well worth it.
That's true. Very true.
Right? That's right.
Absolutely.
That's one.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of this. So much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless y'all. And thanks again for having us.
Okay. Definitely.
Happy to see you again, Randy and Mary. Take care.
Yes. Take care,
thank
Randy.
You,
thanks.
Carol.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll check out some of my other episodes, because I have 70 of them on here. I've done tribute artists. I've done an Elton John, Billy Joel, Joni Mitchell, and Cher tribute artist interview. Let's see. In the country realm, I've done country artist Steve Azar. Remember him? I Don't Have to Be Me Till Monday. Remember that song? John King, who's a current country artist. Phil Vassar, keyboard player extraordinaire. Eddie Kilgallen, who is the musical director and keyboard player for Eddie Montgomery from Montgomery Gentry. From American Idol, Madison Vandenberg, and much more. A lot of local folks that local people will know, and these national stars that I'm sure you will know. And more are coming. I'm working hard for you. Hopefully you will share this podcast, make comments, whatever you got to do, subscribe to the podcast. I really would appreciate you spreading the word, because I'd love to continue to feature talent. And that's it. Thank you for listening. See you again on
Top Talent.